And open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 7. And tonight, I'll tell you, if there was ever a chapter that is so apparent that there are ranks in the resurrection, that there are those that are going to receive different places and occupying in heaven, this is it. And the occupying in place and the time that we arrive in heaven is going to be determined upon the occupying and the place that we're taking in Scripture right now. So we thank the Lord that the encouragement is that as thou hast believed, and as we believe, it's worked in us, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful what faith does? Faith in the Lord causes the Scripture to really work effectually in us. Amen. And it causes us, as we go on in believing the Word of God and walking by faith and in the encouragement of the Holy Ghost and in that abounding of hope, we change from glory to glory into the very image of Him. And the Bible talks about that we're all born as babes. Every child of God comes in as a babe. Just like in the natural, every person comes in as a baby. And from there, you grow up. That's the intention, is you grow up. But in order to grow up, you need to be nurtured, fed, all of these different things. Well, it's no different in the Word of God. You need to feast on the Word of God. You need to be taught these things. As the Word of God says, we need a teacher. How could you learn if without a teacher? How could you hear without a preacher? And the Lord chose the foolishness of preaching. Isn't that interesting, as He calls it? And a lot of times you think of it. Well, Lord, is it grand and is incredible and all of these things that you could do? The thing that you want the most is for us to hear your Word, to study your Word, to assemble ourselves and gather ourselves, the much the more as we see that day approaching. And so thankful for the simplicity of the Word of God. But tonight, as we get into the second part of this seventh chapter of Revelation, we're coming to what's called the innumerable multitude. And I'm thankful to God. This is something that I believe most here are very familiar with. But if you're not, praise be to God. This will be something I know that the Lord will give you as a cookie on the shelf. That, you know, the Bible talks about these things. And as we read early on in Revelation, the Lord wants us to know Revelation. A lot of places will teach that, well, it's just something for some other time. No, the Bible says that we're blessed to know this, that we're encouraged to know this, that we need to know this. And it's so precious that it was given at this time, because the way that you see this truly is by the revelation of Paul's gospel. By that high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. So here tonight, we come to this innumerable multitude. And this is, as it says here, this company is the majority of Christians in the church age. And that's the age that we're in right now. And this is the majority of Christians upon this earth right now. And this is the majority of Christians that, I'm sad to say, are missing the bridal message. They're either not hearing it, they don't have a vision of it, or as we read about the church of Ephesus, they had heard it, but they left their first love. So there was something that got in front of the first love. As we've been encouraged over and over throughout Paul's gospel in this study in Revelation, the first love, that preeminent love, is bridal love. Those are the ones that truly, by the grace of God, that will go on in as this company of believers that will be known as the four living ones that were in the midst of the throne ruling and reigning with Jesus. But however, tonight we're going to see that this company, which is the majority of Christians, so many that they couldn't even be numbered because they were just so plentiful. And these saints will have what we know as the second company of believers. This is the second company that is seen in heaven. Because you remember this, when we started out, starting to see when that trump sounded, which was in chapter 4 of Revelation, that first company or companies that we saw in heaven, we saw the full overcomers of the Old Testament, the 24 elders, and immediately we also saw the four living ones, which is the representative of the bride of Christ. So as it's talked about in the third chapter of Revelation, the church of Philadelphia, which represents the bride of Christ, it says that they were spared from the tribulation. They didn't have to go into it. They were raptured at that first trump sound. So they were taken up and raptured into heaven. So we've had the beginning of the tribulation, and we've started into the tribulation, that seven-year period of time, as we've been studying from chapters 5 and 6 and now into 7. And this company of believers, this innumerable company, is going to be raptured or taken up into heaven somewhere about maybe 1 to 2 years into that tribulation time. And I think, you know, Lord, I don't want to have that undue suffering. I don't want to wait. You know what I'm saying? When you have an opportunity to see him face to face, 1 second after that is undue suffering. And by the grace of God, let's believe him now. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go ahead and read verses 9 through 17 of the 7th chapter. John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, this is John speaking, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So it tells you that they come out of the tribulation. There's no doubt. We don't have to wonder where these ones came out of and how they got there. Very different than the four living ones that are seen right at the beginning of the tribulation. Isn't that something? Therefore, are they before the throne of God? Notice, there's the emphasis. They are before the throne of God. And what do? They serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Praise God. Wonderful and an exciting vision that John has here now that is in heaven. And notice, first of all, in that 9th verse, all kindreds, tongue, and nation. So once again, every generation, every race, and praise be to God, all made one in Christ. And I thank the Lord, we're one in him right now. And praise God, as we get to heaven, as the word of God says, we'll be like him. We'll have a body like unto his own glorious body. There will be no variance except for how much glory is going to be in each one of the sons. Isn't that something? I always appreciated how Brother Copley would explain that. He'd say, you know, because some people have a hard time saying, you know, well, if somebody has a higher rank than me, or somebody has more glory in a sense or whatever, a position than I, there's got to be some type of jealousy or, you know, some kind of coveting or something of that nature. And Brother Copley would say, it's kind of like this. Everybody's going to have this cup in heaven. It's just the size of the cup. But if your cup is full and overflowing, what are you complaining about? Amen? So praise God, and I appreciate that, just a little encouragement there. But notice it says innumerable, a great multitude that no man could number. So it's innumerable. It's not a rib portion, is it? See, that rib portion is a little teeny portion. Now, why do I talk about the rib portion? Because that's how the Word of God in many ways began this story of the church and the bride. See, Adam represents the whole body of believers, represents the church. And what happened to Adam was there was a sleep that came upon him. Amen. And in that sleep, there was a rib portion that was taken out that was made his wife. Just a little teeny rib. But it could only happen when Adam was asleep. Well, as the Word of God tells us, the church is in a great slumber right now. It doesn't want to have anything to do with this message. It really doesn't want to have anything to do too much, really, with hearing very much in detail of the Word of God. It doesn't satisfy them. It doesn't draw crowds. It's not sensational enough. But I'll tell you what, I want what God wants. And God wants us to hear the Word. And as Paul was instructing Timothy, one thing he told him, Timothy, preach the Word. Simple as that. Praise God. I'll have the ones there to hear it that'll hear it. I'll open the hearts for them to receive it. Because I'm going to have grace upon whom I'm going to have grace. And I'm going to have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. So I thank God that this is so simple. And here we go, trusting him for more cookies on the shelf just to eat. So this is a rib portion. As the word of God tells us, many virgins have done virtuously. There's a numerable amount of them. But that one, that wife, she excels them all. Praise God. That's that rib portion. And notice here right away, it gives us a very good vision of this. This company of believers, this innumerable multitude, they're not seated in the midst of the throne, are they, like the four living ones? Oh, no, they're not. They are standing, as it says, before the throne. See, that bridal company, as the word of God says, they're going to rule and reign jointly together with Christ. It's not just an heir of God that we're being offered. No. Matter of fact, if you're a child of God, you are an heir of God. There's nothing to offer in that. That's just done. Just like your kids, when they're born, they're your heirs. But there is a choice. And that choice is of the joint heir, is the wife. Amen? And that's what this is speaking of here, in a sense, that this company reflects something that is not of a joint heirship. These are ones that will stand before the throne. They won't be seated in the midst of the throne. As it says of those four living ones, if you want to reference that, in Revelation 4, verse 6, those four living ones, which are the bridal saints, they are seated with him together in the midst of the throne. See, the queen takes the place, amen, with the king, right there in the throne. Praise God. Now, all of the subjects and things, they stand. Can you get a vision of this, even naturally speaking? You know, here we got this kingdom, and you got the king and queen there. But you see, the throng of people, they stand before. They enjoy, they appreciate when you got a good king and a good queen. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Amen, he is. And I'll tell you what, his glory, her, oh, she's going to be just it too. So you don't even have to worry about that ruling and reigning company, but this is what it is. So get that picture. And then it goes on to say that they are clothed, look at that there in verse 9. It says they're clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now I'd like to talk about these white robes because this is something that's very precious here. See, this means that there's nothing but righteousness. Isn't this going to be a wonderful place to be? There's nothing but Jesus over there. I love that. Praise God. Nothing of anything else, all about him. But this white robe is very, very special. And as a matter of fact, this word white is a very interesting word in the Greek. And we've talked about this a little bit, but I think, again, it's wonderful to be reminded of this. This word white in the Greek is the word leukos. This is really important here, so stay with this. Leukos white means brilliant. It's a very shining white. And obviously, these are the white robes of these saints. Now, if you go back and you read of the 24 elders in the fourth chapter as well, too, they're leukos white in the garments that they have. So this wonderful white righteousness is a wonderful white. It's very brilliant. And it is the white, or that Greek word white, that leukos, is used over and over to speak of this innumerable multitude company, the 24 elders, and all of that. But there is another white, and it's a very, very, very special, very rare white. And that white, and that word white, is lampros in the Greek. So now you got lampros. Now, lampros is different than leukos, because lampros is a superior bright. Lampros is a radiant, stellar, stunning, beyond brilliance, so brilliant that it's transparent. Wow. Now, that's quite a white. Now, let's read and understand this word white, this lampros, is only found two times in Revelation. And it's not found on the garments of the innumerable multitude. It's not found on the garments of the 24 elders. You know what this white is? Turn over to Revelation 22:16. And let's read about this most stunning of white as the word of God. Again, this is glory, really, what this is speaking of. But let's read what this is. So, in chapter 22 and verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. That word bright is actually lampros. So we see that Jesus describing himself, I'm not just the leucos white, I'm the lampros white. I'm that brilliance, I'm that glory. Now, there's only one other that has this glory. Now turn over to chapter 19, verse 8. And let's read of the only other one that has this same brilliance and magnificence, this lampros white. It says, well, let's go ahead and read verse 7. We're going to read the whole chapter here in a minute because it gets so exciting, but let's just do 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, or his wife, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Well, brothers and sisters, that word white right there is lampros. She is the only one that has that glorious same light as him. And if you think about it, why wouldn't she? Because she is the one that has grown from glory to glory in that marvelous grace that truly is like him. As the word of God, it's just, it's transparent. It's that we would grow up into him in all things. Isn't that amazing that we could grow that much in the grace of God? And you think about all the encouragement throughout the word of God. It's all about the word of God, isn't it? It's not about my acts. It's not about my deeds. It's not about my goodness because I don't have any. It's about, do I walk perfect by the grace of God, complete? See, don't think of perfection like we want to think of perfection. He already took care of sinless perfection in my life, just like he did yours. But he wants the completeness walk in the word of God. That's what Paul gave. He withheld nothing. Amen? He gave it through the whole counsel of God. That's what the Lord is after. He's after you to believe everything that he's given you. Amen? See, and that's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to tell you, your faith is always going to fall short. And your faith will fall short, especially in, without that infilling, because that infilling gives you that power and that knowledge and that love to truly step out. Hallelujah. See, we don't leap out in faith. We step. This isn't something you leap into. You walk. Amen? It's not hard. It's not. That's why I love a walk. He just wants you to walk in it. It's not something, well, I got to struggle. I got to, no, I walk. And that's how the word of God is. You just take a sweet little walk. He offered me that, Lord. I believe that too. Oh, you mean you're going to give me that too? I'm going to believe that too. Well, he gave it all in one precious verse. Why would we not receive it? You've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So what's lacking? Nothing. Amen. Take it by the grace of God. So this is what he's encouraging us here. And matter of fact, that word lampros is found one more time, and that's in Revelation 15:6, speaking of the white of those seven angels, which again is a different and another vision of the bridal saints. Remember how we talked about the four living ones, also seen as the four, remember the four angels we read of that were holding back the four winds? We saw that those, by the grace of God, are those wonderful bridal saints. And then as we get to chapter 15, you'll see that, my goodness, how did 4 get to 7? Because it's all complete in that. All of those numbers mean so many things, and we'll get to that. But then at the end, what is she shown as? A wife that's ready with, as we just read, garments of the saints, of the righteousness of saints. And then finally, she's seen, hallelujah, descending from heaven as this glorious city, New Jerusalem, having the glory of God. Amazing, huh? But that's why we need to get into this, to discern these things. And praise God, he'll make them real to us. Now notice back, as we go back to chapter 7, back to the innumerable multitude, and right back there to verse 9, notice they have palms in their hands. So these are palm wavers. Again, get a vision of the kingdom. You've seen this in movies or different things like that. The servants usually are waving palms in front of the throne room. And that's exactly the vision that you get here, is these are servants. These are ones that have taken a place of a servant that are waving palms. Now, they're very happy. They're very thankful. Don't get me wrong. This is an amazing place to have in the Lord. Nobody's going to be unsatisfied in heaven. It's going to be a spectacular place. But there's going to be ones that are going to have more fullness. And these here, as it shows, they have palms in their hands. Whereas the four living ones, praise God, they're going to have crowns on their head. See, those four living ones, the bridal saints right now, are living a message of ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? Are you receiving that message? See, you're not receiving a message of a servant. You're receiving a message of a joint heir together with Jesus Christ. That's what he's after. That's what this church age is about. This is so very clear. Again, and I'll say this again and again, you have to not want to see this to miss this. You do, because it's so apparent and it's so there in your face. Wait a second. You just have to completely deny it, ignore it, don't read it, or don't go to a place that's going to preach that because it bothers people. Let me tell you something. Jesus bothered people. And his word today, it still bothers people. But then there's a certain group of people, it just sets a flame and gets them excited and says, oh my goodness, this is it. And this is it. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is it. So here we go, and we see that this company, this innumerable company, the majority of Christianities, their overwhelming mentality is service, servants. Is that not what we hear today in the majority of Christianity? Come on now, be honest. And I'm not insulting, I'm just telling you like it is, because the Word of God says this is like it is. They're all on missions. They're all going to go work. We're going to go build. We're going to do these things. And that's good. But my goodness, he said there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Why would we not want the most perfect or complete will of God? Amen? Well, here we go. And this is the offer. And this is the encouragement. And this is why we, again, rejoice and speak of these things. But that is the message today. And that's why it's so amiss that's in most Christian churches, is they are preaching the kingdom message right now. They're preaching a message of the great revival right now. It ain't no great revival. You do have to be asleep to not see that this ain't the great revival. Either God, if this is the great revival, I'm going to tell you something, God has no power. Because it's going the other way. It ain't revival time. And that's exactly it. It's not. And God is in power. Hallelujah. God, the Father, is on the throne. And it's all playing out exactly, exactly to his will. And there is a falling away, and the love of many is waxing cold, and many are going away from the truth. And those that are in the truth are beginning to be very, very sleepy. And that hour they think not, bam, that's when that bride's going to be taken. And this is it, praise the Lord. Aren't you thankful a little bit more right now, quickening in your heart? Lord, I'm thankful you gave me an ear to hear this. Hallelujah. Because that's it. Are you loving his appearing? Isn't that something? That's what Paul said. That was, if you want to just whittle it all the way down, he's going to appear. That exalted rank of righteousness are those that love his appearing. Well, I'll tell you, when you love his appearing, you're going to love Paul's gospel, because that's the gospel of the first appearing. Amen? Isn't that neat? Great. See how it all comes together. Praise the Lord. I love to come to Bible study. I learn stuff. And I mean that. We are in the church age. We are in the age, praise God, as we know, that there's being matured, grown, a bride for Jesus. This is not the age of the revival. That age of the revival, the kingdom age, is for the millennium. And that's even after the tribulation. So, but that's where most people are, aren't they? They're into that because they want that feeling, they want that work, and they don't want to read the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. So here they are, these servants that you see in heaven with the palms. Well, what you are over here as a Christian is what you'll take over there. What you feast upon here is what you'll, in a sense, receive over there. That'll be the reward. And it's a wonder. I'm not making light of it. Let me tell you something. That even eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Even that. A doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Praise God. Way beyond any imagination we have right now. But by his Spirit, I don't live imagination. I live knowing. And there is a knowing, praise God, that my bridegroom wants me to be his bride. Hallelujah. That's the place because of the Spirit and that revelation. Now, you think about this servant. Think about how Jesus spoke to Martha. And we know these things. See, Martha was out there and she was all busy serving everybody and she was moving around and she thought she was doing exactly what every other Christian should be doing. And she let him know, did she not? And matter of fact, there was one that was really stuck in her craw that she really singled out, that really wasn't pulling any weight, towing anywhere. We've got people to serve here, honey. But she picked on the wrong lady. And there was Mary, and she was at his feet, and she was worshiping him, washing the feet with her tears. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 you're busy about doing. You're occupied with something that's not the best. But if you're going to go that way, Martha, you know what? You just keep doing it. But one thing I'm going to tell you right now, you leave her alone. She has chosen the better part. That's the word of God. Go read that sweet story if you need to be encouraged again, which I do know we all need to be, but go read it again and again and again. You'll get it. See, these are just the layers that God, you know, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. How can I express to you that I want you to take the best part, that I want you to be the true worshiper, not the true worker? Amen? And if you're the true worshiper, there'll be wonderful works that happen in your life. It's beautiful. Think about the things and how this precious little body that the Lord gives us here and all the places that we take. Hallelujah. It's an organism, isn't it? How one joint supplies another and all that, but it all comes from the head. Praise God. Amen? But see, the thing that we're after is the worship. Drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss him. That's what worship is. So this is very evident. This is very sweet. Now notice verse 10. What is the cry of this group? What are they saying, this innumerable multitude group? Their cry is salvation to our God. Salvation's a wonderful thing. Salvation's where everybody starts. Amen? But we have been rejoicing that we hope for salvation with eternal glory. Amen. See, praise God. You see that? And then you think about the song that the four living ones sang back in chapter 4 of Revelation. Do you remember that song? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Isn't that awesome? See, they're not just singing salvation. They're singing holy, holy, holy. And they're singing that right now. By the grace of God, that holy is a wonderful encouragement. That holy speaks of the separated life to him. That wonderful vessel that is set apart only for the master's use. Isn't that something? And it says three times, separate me, separate me, separate me unto only you. That's bridal talk. Praise God. And you can see the difference in that. But there's a thankfulness beyond. Hallelujah, that again, in that holy, 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 you've set me apart. Oh, that's really Paul's cry in a way, if you really think about it, where he says, I finished my course. See, that's even the beyond that, when he gets there and say, oh, holy, holy, holy. Isn't that awesome? We're set apart. Hallelujah. It's awesome. I don't want to wander too much. Now, we get to verse 11 and 12. And the Lord has encouraged in Scripture, and I pray this will be a real encouragement to you, some more light upon the light. See, we already know the truth, but just light upon light. And I want to bring out at this time in 11 and 12, just like there's ranks in the resurrection for the church, those New Testament saints, there's ranks in the resurrection and order in resurrection in the Old Testament saints. Very precious, if you get time, to read Brother Copley, his writings on Daniel, and especially in Daniel 12, he'll get into some of these things. But I want you to understand this. In Hebrews 11:35, this is speaking of, just turn there. We have hours here tonight, don't worry. Go to Hebrews 11:35, and in Hebrews 11:35, this, remember, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is basically, the worthies of faith, the faith hall of fame of the Old Testament. These were the full overcomers of the Old Testament. These are the ones that, praise God, that against all the odds, against all the things that were against them, they believed God. And they believed God for their fullness and what God was going to do in their lives. Just like, again, the fullness that he's offered to us. Yeah, it is a better thing. Amen, it is. Because it's bridal truth. And that's what we're fighting for, is to win him in that regard. But in 11:35, It says there, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured. This again, speaking of the Old Testament saints, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So see, there was a better resurrection that they were looking for. Just like we, in a sense, by the grace of God, we look for the first trump rapture. Amen? Not a second, not a third. We want that first trump. We want to be there in the air to meet the Lord. Amen? I don't want to take one step into the tribulation, in a sense, as a man here on earth. I want to take it in as, praise God, his bride, hallelujah, in heaven. That's how I want to go into that. But this is what this is speaking of here, is that there was a better resurrection that even those of the Old Testament were looking for. So these worthies of faith in the Old Testament knew that there was a high calling for them as well, too. And that high calling, as we've been seeing in our study, is the result of that high calling in the Old Testament were the 24 elders. Those were the first, that's that company that's seen in heaven as it first opens, as John sees them. Those are the 24 elders that sit on thrones with crowns, and they sit around the midst of the throne. They're very close, but they're not in the midst like the bride. They're around the throne, amen? So we have that. Now, Brother Copley goes on to explain, and it's very sweet, and I don't want to get too detailed in it. But then, let's talk about that next rank of Old Testament believers. If you will, and I'll mention this away. So there were like an innumerable multitude in the Old Testament. Think of it that way. You've got your worthies of faith. You had your ones that were the full overcomers of the Old Testament. But then the majority of Old Testament saints weren't full overcomers. You know, if this was it in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we got about 35 people. There were more. All right? Even in Noah's time, it talks about that. Amen. See, even those ones that went in, the eight that went in the ark, that went out, it said that there were still some good that died. Well, let me tell you something. The only way that you could be good, in a sense, or just, is because of Jesus. There was still faith, but they didn't make it to that, again, escape the eight. Again, that represents the bridal truth, the bridal number. That was a type of the bride. You see, the ark came, Jesus, they left. The others were left, okay? Don't want to get too much on a side. But the innumerable multitude, in a sense, of Old Testament believers, is the second rank. The second rank that's taken up into heaven. So first of all, that first rank, the 24 elders, when did they go up into heaven? That was in Matthew 27:52. Remember when Jesus Christ rose from the, when he was resurrected, and it said that many or some of the graves of the believers were opened at that time. Not all of them, but just many of the graves, okay? So those many graves that were opened at that time, those were the full overcomers of the Old Testament. They came in to the into heaven and received their glorified bodies at that time. And they represent the 24 elders. Praise God, all right? But then there's many that didn't, that still were asleep in the Lord. Let's put it that way. Just like, you know, when we die, it says we're asleep in the Lord, but yet we are present with the Lord. We understand that. But in a sense, we haven't gotten our glorified bodies. Well, this second rank of Old Testament believers is raised at the appearing of the Lord. So at that, and where it says the dead in Christ shall rise first, we do know that that includes the Smyrna saints. Yes, it does. But when that dead in Christ shall rise first, there'll be a rising too of that Old Testament company. It's so sweet. There'll be even a third company. And again, this will be mentioned in the Daniel study of Brother Copley. You'll read of even ones that are restored, the restored nation of Israel, they won't even be, in a sense, resurrected or brought back, in a sense, for that place for God until the end of the thousand-year millennium. Now, there's a lot of detail in that. Do I believe we need to know some of these things? Sure, because the Word of God talks about it. But, brothers and sisters, I don't want to get, in a sense, too in-depth in a sense, a study at night to where it would lose anybody. And I mean that very sincerely, okay? But I do encourage each and every one of us, as I mentioned in these studies, get these study books. Get it out. Read a little bit of a line. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll layer that up and layer that up, and you'll go, oh my goodness, this is so terrific. He really is in the details. Because you know the order. You know, by the grace of God, this bridal rapture and all. But I'll tell you what, when you get into the details of it too, he just even gets more beautiful all the time. It is just really incredible that way. Okay, so where I want to go back to is to talk about these majority of the saints in a sense. And it's sweet. I've spoken to Scott about these things, spoke a little bit to Ty and different ones, that the Lord had really been laying this on my heart. And I am led of the Lord to be bringing this out at this time. I want to speak in verse 11 and 12. The reason I talked about those Old Testament saints. Let's read that again. Now, let's go 11 and 12, chapter 7. And all the angels stood round about the throne. Who are them angels? Let's go back and read chapter 5. Chapter 5, and let's go to verse 11. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, basically 100 million. I want to know what those angels are. And I've been asking the Lord for years and years, Lord, what are those angels? Now, let's talk about this just for a second here. I'd never really heard any explanation on these angels. I'm just going to tell you. These angels are talked about in both of these passages. We see that these angels are round about the throne, round about the beasts, round about the four living ones. And they're seen in chapter 5, obviously. So they're there before even the innumerable multitude got there, right, in chapter 7? Amen. They're there. All right? Now, I want you to think about this, too. Now, we know that in Revelation, as we studied these angels all the way through, these angels aren't an angel like Gabriel and Michael, are they? They've never been. Every angel that we've studied in the way we study in Revelation is a messenger. Amen. We've known that. Last week we saw that there was an angel having the authority of God. And we know that he had the seal. Well, we knew that that angel was Jesus. But we know Jesus isn't an angel. But this is John describing what he's seen. And you got to remember something about John. John is up there in spirit, and he's writing these things down. But I'm going to tell you something. John doesn't know what he's writing down. John is just writing this down. Think about the prophets of old. Didn't it not say that they wrote these things for us? Did not the prophets, even as the word of God came to them, they wrote these things down, and they wanted to look in to know what those things that they were writing about, but they didn't understand it because it wasn't revealed. Amen. Same thing that's going on with John. John is writing these things. He's seeing these things. John has no understanding. And the only way you're going to understand this is how? Paul's gospel, through the Holy Ghost. Amen. But even with the Holy Ghost, you have to understand and receive Paul's gospel to understand this. Without Paul's gospel, you never see the bride, the rib portion, that even comes out of Adam. Amen. You don't see the bride calling in Genesis 24 with the bride for Isaac. Amen. How would you see that the eight in the ark are a bridal type? Amen? Without Paul's gospel. And on and on and on and on. Song of Solomon. Let's just keep going through every chapter of the Bible without Paul's gospel. Because that was the gospel that was given, hallelujah, under the encouragement of the Holy Ghost, because you can't receive it without that infilling. But without those eyes enlightened with understanding, you'd never see this. Amen? Amen. So, here we go. So these angels that we're speaking of here, are these angels like Michael and Gabriel? Well, I'm going to tell you, why would now we be speaking of angels that are angels when every angel's been something different? And there's more proof to what I'm going to speak of here in a minute. First of all, every time an angel is spoken of in Revelation, it is obviously, as I've just mentioned before, we saw Jesus spoken of as an angel. The four angels that held back the four winds. John's looking at them thinking they're angels. Well, we know that that's the bridal company. Those are the four living ones. John, first of all, saw them as beasts. Amen? And then we find out later on in that chapter, well, wait a second, they were redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Well, no beast is redeemed. Amen? This is John writing, and this is Paul revealing by the Holy Ghost. You see? Okay, come on, stay with it. We got it. This gets exciting as we go. But John is only expressing what his eyes see. John, by the way, I don't believe ever really received even the full knowledge of the bridal message. Because John's place was on one of the 12 thrones ruling over the 12 tribes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Saw a lot, wrote a lot, but I still believe for John's life, it was very much like those prophets of old. They were shown these things, they wrote these things, but they couldn't look into those things because it wasn't for them. All right? I just want to go by the word of God. How about you? Amen? All right. So if you had a picture of John on your wall, I'm sorry to pop that. I'm just teasing. All right. So let's get into the details of the word of God. All right. Secondly, how do we know that these angels are a company of saints? Look at verse 12 of this chapter here tonight. It says, well, first of all, let's go back to 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, these are the angels that did this. You see, if you read this, these are the angels that do this. So they fell on their face, they're worshiping God, this group of angels. And what do they say? They say, amen. They say, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power and might. Any angel, not any angel, but an angel of the Lord could say that. Amen. All right? But here's the cut. Unto our God forever and ever, amen. Unto our God is an amazing statement. Unto our God was only uttered in that realm by Old Testament saints. You'll only find unto our God in the Old Testament except for one time in Revelation. And you know who's saying that in Revelation? It's in the fourth chapter, and it's the 24 elders along with the four living ones. So you got Old Testament saints again saying that. Unto our God was uttered by David. Unto our God was uttered by Moses and some of the other prophets. But that phrase, unto our God, was only always spoken in the Word of God by a believer. By a believer. And it was by believers specifically in the Old Testament. Stay with this. We're speaking of this company of angels, this 100 million. So, unto our God throughout the Word of God, that is who speaks these things. See, an angel cannot, nor would not say, in a personal, soulful sense, unto our God. That's why unto our God throughout the Word of God was only spoken by believers, and specifically believers in the Old Testament. This is important. So, who is this 100 million company? I believe Scripture reveals to us that when Upper Sheol, when captivity was taken captive up into heaven at that wonderful resurrection of our Lord, I believe in type this is the innumerable multitude of the Old Testament saints. Where are they? They gotta be there. Amen. Amen. What, did the Lord just ignore them? Huh? Come on. I love this stuff. And it's not, oh, I want a pin or anything. I just love it. I love seeing the family of God. I love seeing the revelation of the Lord. And I don't think we should ever read something over and over and over and just never ask the Lord, well, Lord, amen. Praise God. I appreciate hearts like Brother Copley and Sister Bodie said, I want to know. I want to know. I don't want somebody telling me, well, you know, this is just for us to know. You know, don't read that because I couldn't explain it anyways. What? You see, you don't want to go to a place like that. You want to know, and we want to learn the Word of God. And we want to study and praise God. But this is that, again, that no, so here we go. These are the Old Testament saints that were not in the company of the full overcomers that are seen in Hebrews 11. Let's talk about those kinds of saints. How about King Saul? Amen? King Saul was with Samuel in Upper Sheol. But I don't read of King Saul in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, do you? No, because he wasn't a full overcomer. Lot, same way. He was just wonderful, but he's not getting the same reward as Abraham. He's not in the same resurrection. He's not going to have that glory that Abraham's has. Not going to have. He has. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? See, it's never changed. It's just gotten better for us. See, it's never changed. That same ranks, those all of those things, it's never changed. But yet we have a better thing. Amen. Amen. We have exceeding great and precious promises that we have been given. So, and then it's kind of interesting. If you look in chapter 5 as well too, I say it's kind of the innumerable multitude of the Old Testament. Actually, there's a number on these. It's 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So about 100 million. Well, you know what's kind of interesting about that? Now, this is getting a little goofy on my part, but I'm kind of goofy that way. If you take what they think, so from the time that, let's see, that's the time of Adam and Eve up until the time of Jesus on the earth, okay? So, or let's just even take it to about Pentecost. They believe that somewhere between 600 million and a billion people had lived and died during that time, okay? So if you have a billion and 100 million, 100 million is 10% of a billion, all right? 10% of the people, did they know the Lord and look to the blood of the Lamb at that time? Maybe so. I don't know. But those numbers, by the grace of God, would work. I just think it's beautiful. I hope that encouraged your heart. Just something to rejoice in and say, thank you, Lord. I'm one of those, Lord, where were those innumerable multitude of the Old Testament? I don't see them up there. Well, here they are, son. And I believe in my heart the Lord showed me something there. So let's rejoice. So last of all, notice they also say, worthy is the Lamb. And I appreciated this. This was, she's not here so I can talk about it. This was Polly as we were talking about this. Because I get excited. She kind of gets, you got to really pray for her because she gets it from all these angles. When she's not listening, I say, you've got to listen. You've got to listen. Oh, God. Really do pray for her. Because it's good. But we got in and we were looking at this and she said about this, worthy is the Lamb. She says, well, isn't that sweet? See, the Old Testament saints, that's what they knew. They knew the Lamb. That's what they looked to. They looked to the Lamb. I mean, we look to the Lamb too, don't get me wrong. But that's what they knew. They knew that sacrifice every year. They knew that Lamb. I just thought that was beautiful. And then one last thing, Mark 12:25. We're not done yet, though, but this is one last thing on this. So I didn't want you to go, okay, don't close your Bibles. But in Mark 12:25, I want you to see even what Jesus says when you're thinking about, again, these angels, John seeing angels, but yet they're actually saints. You know, they're, whether he saw an angel and actually that was Jesus. And just think, John was one that actually put his head on Jesus' breast. Amen? So even when he saw that angel, he didn't say that was Jesus when we were reading last week. Remember, it was Jesus that was coming down, but he says, an angel. Well, we know that that was the Lord, but John didn't. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So in Mark 12:25. Listen to what Jesus, when he's explaining about that marriage doesn't continue on in heaven, just listen to what he says here, 12:25. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. He's speaking of saints, believers, but are as the angels which are in heaven. So he even types, in a sense, in a way, not that believers are like angels, but he was just typing that in marriage, it's like the angels. So even Jesus himself uses that, just again referencing angels in a sense of a type, just like in John, as John's seen here in type. So I hope that kind of encourages you as well too. I thank the Lord for the encouragement. Let's go on. Another little layer. Go over to Hebrews 11:40. I have fun during the week. I hope you do too. All right, 11:40. This is what I say, nobody's stealing my joy. Nope, no way, by the grace of God. 11:40. Hebrews, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. So we got a better thing. Hallelujah. But what I want to ask you here is, and it says without us, this they cannot be made perfect. And who couldn't be made perfect? Worthies of faith. Amen. The full overcomers of the Old Testament. That's where we're at right now. Without us, and who's Paul speaking of us? The bride. Without the bridal company, the 24 elder company can't be made perfect. It can't be made full. Do you see again how beautiful this is? That's why you know that the 24 elders and even the bride, the four living ones, they're two separate companies. Hallelujah. Just little things. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I was jumping around the house with that, just thanking him. But this is exactly what this is. So again, we see such revelation all the time. And again, the revelation, the proving of the Lord. Again, he keeps telling us over and over how he loves us. All right, let's finish up. And we'll move through. So stay with it and will be excited until he come here. All right. Verse 14 through 16. It says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." So again, he just tells you even point blank, these saints come out of tribulation. Okay, it doesn't mean the great tribulation. It just means a great tribulation time, which is the 7-year period. That's why we know that this is somewhere around the 1 or 2 year mark. "And they have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So we realize, and we always know, without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission of sin. So these are saved ones. We're so thankful. But we are told of this company once again. They come out of the tribulation. Remember, as we said, Philadelphia company, which is the bridal saints, Revelation 3:10, they do not come out of tribulation. They are spared from the tribulation. They get there first. That's why they're there in the 4th chapter of Revelation, and these guys show up in the 7th chapter of Revelation after the tribulation has begun. Know these things. It'll just encourage you to say, you know what, they could be onto something. Yeah, it's the Word of God. So, many undeniable proofs, amen, of ranks in the resurrection and when they get there and all these things. Well, let me tell you something. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's just what it is. And once again, I'm going to say this. For us not to see it, we have to not want to see it. Amen. Just like salvation, all of these different things. It's in the Word of God. By the grace of God, Lord, let me just bend the knee and say, Lord, fill me with your word. Amen? That's simple. I just want the word. Amen. Now, again, it references the white robes. There's not crowns. There you go. It's a robe versus a crown. Once again, where are they? They are standing before the throne. See, they're talking about standing. They're not seated in that midst. They're not ruling and reigning as a queen will be with Jesus. And what do they do again? It brings it out once more. They serve him. Serve him. In verse 15, therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. Well, if you're serving the Lord right now, and that's what you're taking, you sure will be serving the Lord over there. And it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Serving the Lord is a fabulous thing. But there's a better part. And that's that part right now, that if you'll be that worshiper here, oh my, what a worshiper will enjoy over there. Hallelujah. So we just thank him and rejoice. Praise God. And you'll notice that in this serving, it says, it goes on, and it, as opposed to worshiping, there's a following. So we'll touch on that in a minute. Verse 16, here it is. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. So this says it all. There's a hunger and a thirst. Something was missing. I hunger for the Lord. Don't get me wrong. You do too. I know that. But yet there still is a fullness. You know what I'm saying? But there's something here that was missing. And what was missing is they missed the bride. They missed that fullness. And this light, what it speaks of here where it says, neither shall the sun light on them or any heat. This is not just light and heat. This light means to strike upon. And the sun means burning heat. So they came out of a fiery time. They did come out of a fiery time. They came out of the tribulation. And we're not intended to go into the tribulation. We'll end with that verse here in a minute. But that's not for us. That's not where we're supposed to be. But notice, again, verse 17 as we close this up. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne. There's only one other company that says is in the midst of the throne. And that's back in the 4th chapter. And that's the 4 living ones. Words mean something. And specific words mean everything. And let me tell you something. The Lamb is in the midst of that throne. My hair is just going to jump off my skin. And that 4 living group is in the midst of the throne. And that innumerable multitude ain't there. The 24 elders ain't there. The 144,000 ain't there. It's just Jesus and his wife. That's who's there. Amen. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that wonderful? In the midst of the throne. And what does the Lord do to them? Feeds them and leads them. Isn't that something? See, I'm thankful that the Lord has led me into all truth. That Holy Ghost. And by being led into all truth, when I get over there, oh yeah, in a sense, he'll always lead me. But I'll have a body like unto his own. And I'll be his companion. By the grace of God. And in that we will rule and reign jointly together. We will be glorified together. There won't necessarily just be a leading of him. Somehow he's going to empower this life by the grace of God that I'm going to encourage him to. Isn't that what a wife does? Huh? You ain't going to be a husband too long if you... Never mind. All right. So, what beautiful details of splendor the Lord leads, but yet here we have this choice reigning. And then the last thing it says, and this I think is the most profound maybe of all, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So you see, brothers and sisters, that there had to be tears that were wiped from their eyes. They missed something. There wasn't that joy and exalting that the four living ones that just came in there to worship. There had to be tears wiped away. The word wiped away in the Greek, it means remorse. Remorse taken. Wiped away means remorse taken. Because they know they missed it. Now, as we part, go on over to 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And we'll just part with this verse. And this is us. For God hath not appointed us, this is Brother Paul speaking of all of us, to wrath. That word wrath is the tribulation. In the Greek, that word wrath means tribulation. For God hath not appointed us to tribulation. Now, I'm going to ask you this. We know that in a sense of trials, which are tribulation for us, in a sense, you know, the trials are tribulation trials. We know we've been appointed to those, amen? So this isn't a contradictory statement. No, the Lord has appointed us to trials because we're going to grow. But he has not appointed us to this wrath or tribulation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that word salvation, you'll look that up and you'll find there it's the same encouragement as Philippians 3:16. But he has appointed us to obtain the out resurrection. What will we choose? What will we believe? Well, once again, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.